Good morning. I want to extend a hearty welcome to each one that has come out this morning. It is my prayer that we have come with a heart that is prepared. Prepared to receive what God wants to speak to us, either through song or through His Word. And we know that the songs, they are also based on His Word. And we can get great comfort through the songs, and we know that the songs are what people have written, but the encouragement that we get through your word, we know that that is truth, because your word is inspired by God, written by man, but inspired by God, and we know then that that is the truth. I want to greet you with the words which we find in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Where we read, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. Father, we thank you for this country and the many freedoms that we still have. And this morning we want to lift up our government to you. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon them, and as it convicts them, that they would accept that Spirit to lead and guide them. We know that when we look to you for guidance, when we depend on you, you give us what it takes. And when we go on our own, that it is then that we can't see well and we make decisions that aren't pleasing to you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would protect our government, pray that you would truly be upon them, and that they would look to you for insight. Heavenly Father, I also pray for each one that has come, each one that has tuned in, that is listening online, that they would be prepared to receive what you want to speak to us. And sometimes it hurts us when we listen to your word. But it is then that we need to take stock, that we need to look at our lives and see where it is that we're truly at. And that we don't look at the speaker as someone who doesn't know what he's talking about when he's using your word. But that we take your word, look into it, examine our lives, and line up our lives according to your word, according to your will. Father, this morning, I also want to pray for the song leaders as they lead, that you would give them strength. Pray for myself as you give me the words to speak, that I would speak them boldly. I pray this all in your precious name with thanksgiving. Amen. I have a few songs at this time, please.
And the blue hymnal, number 405, "Kneel at the Cross." I invite you to stand.
Jesus will meet you.
21, love lifted me. Thank you.
Thank you for those songs and that hearty singing. For text word this morning I have chosen out of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, where we read, where Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." If we would take a look at each and every one of us ourselves, can we apply this verse to our lives? Can we truly say that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain? Are we giving everything? Are we allowing God to use us in whatever way He wants to use us? Paul, he had persecuted the church, and he knew what he was talking about. He had persecuted, and when he turned around on the road of, when he was struck down on the road of to Damascus, and when Ananias told him that he would be preaching the word of God, when he fell down and he said, "Lord, what is it that you would have me to do?" And he was told that the road you will walk, it will not be an easy road. The road that God has called us to walk might not be an easy road. But it is a road that is worth living. It is worth being obedient. It is worth being persecuted for. Paul never gave up hope, even when he was in prison. It is there where he sought his God ever more closely, and he was drawn ever more closer to Him. And through that, he encouraged a lot of people, and he's encouraging us today to stand up for what is right. "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." One verse above that in verse 20, it reads, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. Are we willing? Are we willing to apply these verses to our lives? And we have younger children with us here today. When we stand up for Christ, we might not be popular with this world. But God will bless us. He will carry us. When we serve Him, when we do our utmost to serve Him, it is then that Christ carries us. Just like that poem, Footprints in the Sand. When things get so hard, we cannot understand, and it's so hard, and we can't see how we'll go on. But in Christ, if we are in Christ, He carries us. Just like He carried Job. What didn't Job all lose? He had many riches, yes. But he didn't say that that was his. He said, this is what God has blessed me with. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The things that we have, the things that we hold on so dearly, we claim it for our own. And truly, it isn't ours. God has borrowed it to us. And the more He has given us, the more He expects of us also. Not to put it on a heap someplace for who? For our children to argue over? How often do we see that? When there's an inheritance, people say, oh, this isn't fair. I should have had more, or whatever it is. Stuff to fight over. Stuff that will all burn up one day. And Paul, I'm sure he saw that. And that is why he said what he said in verse 21. To live for Christ, to do what Christ has called him to do, would be worth it all. And then in verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. When we look at these three verses here, Paul admits that he is ready to go to heaven. His desire is heaven. Having seen the goodness of Christ and having that hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ, knowing that the life that he lived in the first place was against God, and when he was turned around, it was for Christ, knowing full well, living a life for Christ, that he would reap eternity with him in heaven. And then he goes on and he says, I am between, we could say, a rock and a hard place. He was in between a rock and a hard place. He says, I need to make a decision. We need to make a decision. Sometimes we need to make choices between right and almost right. How do we choose? And when we choose, why do we choose? What pressured us to choose what we have chosen to do? The lifestyle we have chosen to live. What is keeping us going? Is it the will of God? Or is it the peer pressure around us? Because the peer pressure of this world will not get us to heaven. But the life in Christ We know that we will reap eternity with him. And then in verse 24, he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So again, Paul isn't looking at himself. But for himself to be here, to go out, to proclaim God's word, he saw that as more needful to the people around him than for him, the desire that he had to be in heaven. And that is what he wanted to do. That is where he wanted to be. And that is also what our desire should be. And I don't have to look at anybody else but myself. But my needs, they come so often. I think it's because of me, because of what I need, but it isn't because of what I need. We are to look at others. Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, it wasn't because of himself. He came for you and me to give us life. And when he left, before he left, he says, go and tell others. He commanded his followers, his apostles, to go out and spread the good news. And that good news has been placed upon you and me. We have taken that step of faith. We have accepted Jesus as our personal Savior. And our mandate is to go and tell others. And not only to go and tell others, but they should be able to see it by the way we live our life. And it's amazing what our life can show. How long it takes to build up a good reputation, and how very short a time we can destroy everything that we have tried to accomplish in Christ. By not being that light, by being a lukewarm Christian, saying that Christ is mine, I have accepted him as my personal Savior, and yet walking the ways of this world. I heard a saying one time, it said, an atheist cannot do as much damage to the gospel of Christ as a lukewarm Christian. Isn't that so true? Being lukewarm, what does Jesus say? He says, if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out. I would rather have you cold or hot, but not lukewarm. When I think of that and I think of Paul was zealous. Before he was converted, he worked hard. He was cold. He persecuted Christians. He never said that Jesus Christ has come for me or will come for me. But he persecuted the Christians. How many times are we out there saying we are a follower of Jesus Christ, and yet the lifestyle we live doesn't show it? So what are people seeing? I read a sign that read, when I see the first jogger smiling, I will consider running. Put a smile to my face. And yet, when I reflected on that verse, what have I portrayed? What are people wanting to see in me? Saying, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, preaching his word. And yet, what do they see? Do they see Christ in me? Do you see Christ in me? What do people see in you? Are they waiting to see an effort in Christ? To see that effort, the thing that we're saying, would they like to see that in our lives also? Time is short. We know that. Life is as a vapor, and we don't know when the end will be. We need to be ready. And if we've been deceived, when Christ comes, it will not be a pleasant day for us. We will not inherit heaven. In verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance of joy and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by the coming to you again. So here we can see that Paul says, and having this confidence. Do we have that confidence? Do we have the confidence of inheriting eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven? And sometimes it is asked, well, how can we know? Taking his word and applying it to our lives. Not just the verses that I think that apply to me, but we need to take the whole Bible and apply it to our lives. And when he tells us to keep the commandments, he's talking about 10 commandments, not only 9 of them. And one of them, it talks about honoring our father and our mother. We have children with us here today. And as I was looking at that commandment, the thought came to my mind that, yes, it's speaking to smaller, younger children to honor their fathers and mothers, to be obedient to them, because they have experienced, they've gone through what you're going through right now. They want to protect you. Likewise, God wants to protect his children. And it is my prayer that we're all his children. And that we know that he is protecting us. There's evidence out there that he is protecting us by the way we live our life, the things that he has done for us, the insight that he is giving us from day to day when we need to make choices, when we're asked questions, when people want answers, and we don't have the answer. And this happened to me when we came back from Texas. And it wasn't that I didn't have an answer for the question I was asked, but I wanted it to be very, very clear. And I told that person I would respond, and I did. And on our way home, and I actually like to travel. When I travel, I have time to meditate. And God opened up to me very, very clearly scripture verses and what I should answer that person. God is alive. He is there. He wants to speak to us. But if we're not open to him, if we don't take time, and we have so many things in life that keep us so busy, so many convenient devices that can help us so much in life and yet distract us so many times from where God wants us to be. And there again, I don't have to look at anybody else. Just take a good look at my life. how much time I spend on YouTube or internet searching for stuff, and sometimes just because, where I could be in God's Word, studying, or maybe be out there helping someone, encouraging someone. And yet somehow we've come to the point that it's going to be okay. And I have to ask myself, will it be okay? The way I live my life, am I truly living the life that Paul talked about when he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain? How careful we need to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting in verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while as we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And that is so true. Just like Paul said, for his desire was to be with God, and yet he knew that being here in this world, the importance of sharing with others, encouraging others. And we know full well that while we are yet here, we are not in heaven because we are still here. Life is still real. And he goes on and he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Living a life for Christ, being his hands and his feet, being his disciples, we have to live a life of faith. We need to have faith. If we don't believe that Jesus came into this world, that he has died for our sins, he rose and has gone back to heaven, what would be the purpose of reading this book, the Bible? There would be no value in it, would it? If I get to choose which verse I want to apply to my life and which verse I don't have to, what is the value of studying God's Word? If I have to make the decision what God truly means, which verse truly applies to me or which verse might apply to one of you people? We need to have faith that the Bible was truly inspired. It was written by man, as I mentioned before, but they were inspired by God. We have to have faith. We cannot just walk by what we see. Live our life according to the way that things seem to be before us. Because they are not always, it is not always what it seems to be. In verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And that's what is important. Whether God chooses to take us away or to give us more time in this world isn't something that we should dwell on. The importance is, are we prepared when he will come? And we know he will come. He came. He had promised. He gave that promise right in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned that he would send a redeemer. Jesus came. He gave his life. He was buried. He rose. And he's gone back to heaven to prepare a place for you and me. Not built with hands that will have to be repaired. And sometimes we can live in a new facility, in a new house, and yet repairs come up, right? In heaven, we won't have to repair. We won't have to struggle, or we won't have to go get food, prepare food. It will all be there. We will be praising God for all eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. I also believe that this verse should be very, very real in our lives. These last 2 years, how distressed have you been? Have you been troubled at the things that have come to pass? A follower of Jesus Christ, when we surrender ourselves to Him, when we have given ourselves over to Him, we will not allow these things to distract us from what God and where God wants us to be. He will carry us. And that doesn't mean that we don't think of these things, because we will think of them. But we will not allow them to get us down. And a little while ago, I heard someone say, when I listened to a certain man, he says, it just gets me so angry, and that is not of God. Jesus tells us to love all people. How they choose to live their lives, that's up to them. That's up to me, and that's up to you. Do we want to be of His fold? We need to choose that path, which is spelled out very clearly in His Word. He goes on in verse 9, he says, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Paul, he knew what was being said here. He had been persecuted. He had been forsaken. He had been cast down. Can any of us say that? Have we been persecuted? Yeah, we've had some setbacks. Have we truly? Has anyone here truly been persecuted? In verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus. Sometimes when we look at our life and the hard times we go through, or things that are being said of us, about us, maybe being done to us, maybe we could say, yes, I've been persecuted. But then when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, where He didn't have one person that stood by Him, even His most faithful servant, Peter, left Him, denied Him, cursed that he didn't know who Jesus was, persecuted. Jesus was persecuted. Continue in verse 10, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Let's take God's word and let's apply it to our life wholeheartedly. Let's go out there and be the light that God has called us to be. Tell others of the love of Christ. And we know there are many out there that are hurting, that are discouraged, that need someone to come by and help them along. And sometimes we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we also get down. We get discouraged. But for those of us that are up and standing, let's be there for them. Let's not stay away. Let's have our eyes open allow God to speak to us. And so many times we want to go our own way, and yet things come in our path that we don't get where we would like to be. And then we say, Vurra matetzozan. My day will be all messed up. And yet, as we go through the day, we meet people just at the right time who need encouragement, who maybe have trouble that need a helping hand. And God has put those things in our way to have us where He wants us to be. And yet, how willing was I to follow? How many excuses could I have come up with, or inconvenience it has caused me? And yet Jesus left His glory and gave His all. And then I want to go back to my opening words, the text words, and remind us again that we take this verse with us wherever life takes us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I want to give each and every one of us the opportunity to go on bended knee. There is someone here that is heavy. There is something heavy on your hearts today. Bring it to the Lord. If we are rejoicing, if we are happy, let's also praise Him for what He continues to do for us. For those of you who are able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Good morning. I have a few announcements here that I want to make. Just in your bulletin, one of them, it is for Mrs. John Martin's. She is in need of some help, and we have actually almost decided already we are just going to hire somebody unless somebody in our congregation would be interested in doing the work. She needs a bathroom renovated so that bathroom is wheelchair accessible. And if you're interested in supporting it, then financially, then we would ask you if you put that money into the home mission box and whatever comes in there, we will use to pay for the expenses or cost to do that. And I also would ask you to pray for her and her daughter. She has a growth in her nerve system that now she cannot control her right side anymore the way she used to because the nerves are damaged. So that's the reason why she is in a wheelchair. And the other thing is we had decided to have a collection for Mary Barch, who is the missionary from our conference in Bolivia. I have the posters that she sent for this month. I have put them in the back there. If you're interested in looking at them, you can look at them. But the third Sunday of this month, of February, we will have a special collection. All the money that comes in on that Sunday in the home mission box will go, or in the other boxes, whatever comes in, then that Sunday will go for Mary Barch to support her in Bolivia. She, you can see the pictures there and read what her job is. The other thing is your tax deductible receipts are in the mailboxes in the back there. And you can go and pick them up there. And then I have another one here. I'm going to put this in the bulletin later on, but it is a project that it is called Hope's Journey Home. And I'm just going to read this the way it has been given to me. We here at Hope's Journey Home are excited about recent accomplishments. We would like to thank each and every one who has been a part of it. Past campaigns have allowed us to become a registered nonprofit charity as well as purchase a vacant lot for a maternity home. Now to the next step, build a home. Would you consider making a financial donation or donate building materials? Should you choose to donate, we accept e-transfers through, and the email is on here, I will put it in the bulletin later on, or checks payable to Hope's Journey Home. Material donated can be arranged by calling Barb at 204-871-2077. So we'll put this in a bulletin, and we have, is the conference have decided that we will have collections in every church for this project, and whatever is collected, we will donate to build that home. So I don't know exactly what date we will have the collection, but so just so that you know that it's coming up, and pray about it. I see this as a great opportunity. We are against abortion, but we have never, ever somewhere put something up to support those that are in need of support because they're pregnant, 14 girls. And this is an opportunity where we can support them and show them, you know what, carry on. It is a life worth living, and it's a life worth caring for. And so pray for it, and may God bless them. Thank you.
As for this morning's worship service, I have nothing more to bring you out of God's word, but I want to thank you for coming. Thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you. For closing, I want to bless you with a benediction, which we find in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. And will you unite with me? Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of our sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And you may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is watching.